Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine Exterior is Dutch Boy's most durable exterior paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Hour 2 of Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. SportsGrid.com. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock here with you until 2 o'clock Eastern. And then, Davis, how are you preparing for the draft tonight? Are you going to get some lunch? You going to go play a little golf? What's on the agenda here before you lock yourself down for 4 hours tonight?
I am definitely going outside, getting some sun, and hitting some golf balls. I don't know if I'm going to go play 9. I don't know if I'm going into the range. But definitely by the time when I leave you this afternoon, and by the time the draft starts at 7 o'clock tonight, I will have hit some golf balls. You can lock that down as a certainty.
Yeah, my son is back playing Little League. So tomorrow's the first Saturday, probably, I don't even know, maybe in like 6 months that we're back on baseball and no golf, but back out there for sure next week. Let's touch on our headlines here as we close out this Friday. We have the second day of the NFL draft coming up. Interesting names still out there, definitely for fantasy. Chuba Hubbard is one name I'm very curious about. Thought he was really good in college. I don't know why it doesn't get talked about enough. Hey, the Brewers, they placed Corbin Burns on the injured list. Now, they're not saying what the injury was, which usually leads you to believe it is COVID-related. And I don't know if this is the one-day variety or the 10-day variety or the two-week variety even, but wow, what a gut punch to lose Corbin Burns in fantasy for sure. Jazz and Suns tonight highlight the Friday's NBA slate, so that's a very good game tonight. Potential, who knows, Western Conference Final preview. 15 games tonight in baseball. They all start at 6:30 Eastern, so no day games today. Matt Olson had an eye injury yesterday, Oakland A's hitter, after getting injured during batting practice. You don't see that all too often. So Jazz Suns tonight, though, Davis. I know we haven't done much NBA here on the show, probably for good reason, because so many other things are going on. NBA will be focused on a ton in 2 weeks when the playoffs begin. But that would seemingly be a possible playoff preview. I don't know if that would be a West Finals preview, but they could definitely meet up against each other at some point.
I mean, not only this, the Suns can catch the Jazz for the number one seed. So the Jazz are without Donovan Mitchell right now. He rolled his ankle. He's been out for, I think, 4 games now. But also, Mike Conley dealing with a small nagging injury as well. So it's been Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles in the backcourt for the Jazz. This is a huge game. I mean, if the Jazz are able to somehow sneak this one out without Mitchell and without Conley, they might be able to get some rest at the end of the season. If they don't sneak this one out and they lose the tiebreakers are very important in a 72-game season. We're talking about the Jazz maybe having this incredible regular season and literally watching it fall out of their grasp over the last 3-4 games of the season, which you got to imagine, it's got to just be so disheartening if you are, you know, if you're the coaching staff, if you're Donovan Mitchell, if you're Gobert, like you do not want to watch this slide by. So a lot of pressure for the Jazz tonight, I think.
I think so. You know, we spent some time in the first hour of the show. Let's touch on it here again, and I know we're going to talk about it in fantasy reality. But real quick, When you saw the Aaron Rodgers story yesterday, making the rounds 2 hours before the draft, did you think he was getting traded last night? Did you think that that would happen? I did not, but I still thought, wow, this may take over the entire story of the draft.
Well, I thought the only reason for the Rodgers camp to leak this to Schefter would be because a trade was imminent, right? Either he leaked it or the Packers leaked it, and they thought, well, look, if we're going to lose Rodgers, we literally got to get it done today, because once a team has Justin Fields or Mac Jones or whoever, they're not going to trade him to us. We need the pick. We need the pick so that we can make the pick and take whoever we want. So what I did was I opened up my FanDuel Sportsbook and I bet 250-1 that the Green Bay Packers would be selecting a quarterback with the first pick, with their first pick of the NFL draft. Now they didn't end up doing it, but I felt like the true odds were probably more like 50-1 or whatever. Because another thing I think is Jordan Love. I mean, what's the point? What would you say you do here, Jordan Love? Because we've not gotten any of these stories about like, oh, Jordan Love is really learning the position, or, you know, Rodgers and Jordan Love, they have this great relationship and we think Love is going to be great. Like, none of that. I feel like that's going to be one of the most hilarious wasted selections of all time.
You know, you're right. I have not heard a word about Jordan Love in over a year. That's definitely an interesting note there, no doubt. The thing that you said, like, it's interesting because I'm on the side of being a reporter, understanding what you mean by leaks and things like that. I've definitely have that on my end. And when you said that, it kind of occurred, that did occur to me as you're mentioning it. Like, why would this story come up an hour before the draft if it wasn't leaked by somebody in Rodgers' camp to get this out there that he wants out and to kind of force a trade on the night of the draft? You're absolutely right. Like, why wouldn't it have come out like next week instead?
They thought they had this Broncos trade. They thought that they had the number 9 pick for the number 29 pick. I assume, you know, Rodgers in there, and then, you know, a couple other bits and pieces to make it work. And it just didn't end up happening for whatever reason.
Yeah, Packers comments after, right? Oh, we're not going to make a trade or do anything like that. I mean, look, it's definitely another compelling story. I would say this, that if Aaron Rodgers is going, he may not play for the Packers at all, as you mentioned, but if he is going to be traded, unlike Watson on draft night, which could have happened, unfortunately it didn't because of everything else that happened with him, unlike Wilson that would have happened before draft night, there is still a chance that Rodgers could get traded. But that thing has got to happen soon. Like, that's the kind of deal that if it don't happen in the next couple of weeks in May, I know they're trying to play the second OTAs in June at the camps, but we'll see. Jim Sanis joins us next with a NASCAR preview.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Sp-
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Deviate from a little football over to NASCAR, and of course over at NumberFire, some unbelievable simulations taking place to get ready for the big race this weekend, and we're going to preview that with Jim Sannis. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Sannis, and he joins us now. Before we get back to the NFL draft, Jim, I know we'll do some NASCAR here, but your thoughts, I know it's easy to talk about, but draft really a lot of fun to watch last night, no doubt, some compelling things happened, but for me, I mean, it's very rare. You had a number one pick in the draft that we've been talking about for a year. It actually ends up happening with Trevor Lawrence, and I know that I'm certainly excited to see him play in Jacksonville.
Yeah, and I think that's justified, too. Like, the reason we didn't talk about him is because there wasn't really a lot to nitpick. Like, maybe you could focus on the Clemson offense and how it wasn't really the most advanced system last year, but, like, I think that was more due to the wide receivers they had versus Lawrence himself. You know, they didn't have Justin Ross. He was out for the year due to an injury, but there was no T. Higgins. They kind of had to run this, like, makeshift offense, but even with that, Lawrence's adjusted yards per attempt was still a career high, so I think that that is tremendous from an analytics perspective and from a numbers perspective. The things you want for a quarterback in the first round is you want a guy who is experienced, younger, and efficient. And Trevor Lawrence was the only guy in this draft who checked all three of those boxes, and he did so pretty emphatically. So I think it was kind of a no-brainer. Like, it is tough, you know, to not get a lot of pub. I'm sure he'll get plenty later on. I wish we'd had more time to talk Lawrence during this draft process. There was just so much more to talk about. But, you know, when it's a well-rounded profile like that, there's just not too much to nitpick there.
No, there isn't. I'm waiting for the day where I can throw something at Jim Sannis that he can't talk for 5 minutes about. I'm still waiting for that day. We haven't gotten there yet. NASCAR would have been something you would think, but no, Jim's got that mastered too. So, okay, on to NASCAR. So, last week, Brad Keselowski wins at Talladega. I saw a major wreck in that race, too. Yeah. I was following that thing happened, and I hope that driver's okay. I didn't see an update on that. But so this week, we go from Talladega to I don't want to get the name of the race wrong, but Bushy McBush, is that correct?
The Bushy McBush Race 400. I think that Busch Light had like a promo where you could name the race and then you like voted on it. And there was like this weird thing with Bodie McBoatface a couple years ago, and people apparently like that. So it's the Bushy McBush Race 400. If having to write that on my content pieces this week has been a disaster, but also at least it makes me laugh every now and then.
Yeah, no, it should. We're going to have a graphic for it here on this show, too. So congratulations. They got it done. Let's take a look over on the FanDuel Sportsbook at the odds for the Bushy McBush race this weekend. We start off with Kyle Larson, who is the favorite in this race, at plus 480. We have Denny Hamlin at 5.5-1. Martin Truex Jr. at 6-1. Ryan Blaney, 7-1. Keselowski is 9-1. And then Chase Elliott, 10-1 in this race. And actually, you know, some of the odds on the DFS side look pretty similar. So I feel like we're in sync here this week. So let's talk about the race this week and who you like.
Yeah, I think that I would look around, try to find the best number you can get on Kyle Larson, because you can actually get him at 7-1. I think at Fox Bet, he was at 7-1 the last time I looked. So shop around, try to find the best number on Kyle Larson and bet that. If the best number you can get is like 6-1 on Larson, I'd still take that. My win simulations would still be okay with that. His win odds, my simulations are 16.4%. The implied odds at 6-1 are 14.3%. So even if you get him at just 6-1, there's still value in that number. And the reason being is he's been tremendous on this track type so far this year. Three races so far on 1.5 mile tracks. He's had a top five average running position in all three, and he's led 44% of the laps. That's just disgusting numbers for Larson. I think that he's a tremendous bet. So just find the best number you can get on Larson, bet that. If you don't go Larson, I think his two teammates at Hendrick Motorsports are both enticing. Alex Bowman and William Byron. Right now, Bowman is 18-1. Byron is 16-1. I prefer Byron between the two because Byron is starting second, easy access to clean air, and he's also looked really good those first three races. Average running positions for William Byron of 4th, 6th, and 7th. He actually won the race in Homestead as well. So he's been tremendous. Starts up front, gets clean air. He's at 6.1% in my win simulation, so there's some value there. But also just anecdotally, I feel pretty good about him as a mid-range bet. So for me, Craig, it's kind of just all about Hendrick Motorsports this week. It's Larson at the top, Bowman and Byron in the mid-range. I would rank Larson as my favorite bet overall. Byron, too. But if you don't like them, Bowman is a good third option at 18-1 for this week.
Okay, so Larson also pretty expensive in DFS this week. I believe he's at 13,500. So let's take a look if people are going to play the DFS NASCAR circuit this weekend. Hamlin is 14,000. Larson, 13,500. Truex Jr. is at 13. Keselowski, 12,500. Logano is 12. Chase Elliott, 11,500. And, hey, look, there's Kevin Harvick at 11,000 there. I mean, it doesn't feel like Harvick's had a great season. I mean, he was, like, the favorite in every race last year.
Yeah, I bet him to win more races this year than Chase Elliott. Neither's won so far, but I wish I could have that bet back. It was I don't think Harvick's going to do too well so far this year. So wish I had that bet back. But I think for DFS for this week, you have five slots on FanDuel. But for this week, just pretend there are four. You lock in Kyle Larson for one of those and fill out the rest. Because Larson's starting back in 32nd. That means he's got a lot of place differential upside, which is huge for DFS. And he can still win that race and back there too. So I think Larson, whether you're playing in a cash game or a tournament, is the one player you lock in and just go with the other four slots in there. We talked about Bowman before too. I think he's great for DFS as well. Starting back in 25th for this race, $9,200. He's been good on the 1.5 mile track so far. And as mentioned, I think he has good odds to win this race. So you start with the two Hendrick drivers with Larson and Bowman. Then you have three more spots left. One driver I would turn to try to offset the salary of Kyle Larson is Austin Cindric. He's had a really rough start so far in the Cup Series, running part-time for Team Penske. But he's $6,200. He is starting in 38th, so similar to Larson, a lot of place differential upside. And although we prefer Team Penske on the 750 horsepower tracks, this is a 550. They're still a good equipment. Like, it's not as good as they are on the shorter tracks, but it's still good equipment. So you're getting Cindric at a spot where I think he could run really well. $6,200, if you pair him with Larson, you're essentially back to an average of $10,000 per draw. You can get into second stuff, like get into Denny Hamlin, get into Martin Truex Jr., someone like that. So I think that between Larson, Bowman, and Cindric, we have a lot of really logical cash game plays who also have appeal for tournaments, and having that kind of crossover appeal where they have both a high floor and, to me at least, a very high ceiling, that's pretty hard for me to turn down. It makes for what I would think a pretty easy week for DFS at Kansas.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll look forward to that. By the way, with adding on to everything that you do, Jim, just I'm curious from a content standpoint at NumberFire and all the work that you're doing here and FanDuel, how difficult is it to manage everything these days? I mean, it's a great problem to have, and we should embrace it based on having nothing last year, but you have day two of the draft coming. You have NASCAR. You have baseball. You have golf, basketball, and hockey. Like, I hope you have other people that are able to do some of this other thing.
I do know basketball and hockey, thankfully. Those are not my sports by any means. The good thing, Craig, is that the schedules line up really well because there's no overlap between NASCAR and football. So, I mean, outside of, like, the end of the NASCAR season, but by then you kind of know what you're doing. That helps me a lot, and a lot of the draft prep I can do in January when we're in the offseason for NASCAR. So the schedule actually is very beneficial for me as long as I allocate my time well, which is not always the case, but thankfully this year kind of had a good idea of what the quarterback landscape would look like, was able to dive into those guys. It did make it tougher with no combine, because it means it's harder to allocate all or find all the data and stuff like that. But I just get very lucky in the way the calendar breaks. So if we ever get a change where the NASCAR season starts earlier and there's, you know, we're jamming in both NASCAR and the NFL at the same time, that would be pretty rough. But with the way things break right now, I feel very lucky to be covering the specific sports I do that don't overlap too much.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And listen, I'm just fortunate to be able to talk about this with you. One day I'm going to catch you off guard with something here on the show. It may take a year, but I will.
Basketball, you'll get me. You can get me with basketball, believe me.
Well, now that I know, I got to use something else. All right, Jim, good luck this weekend in NASCAR. We'll see what ends up happening at the Bushy McBush race. And we'll talk again next week. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Get it and enjoy rounds 2 and 3 of the draft tonight as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim Sanis. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Sanis and all of his work over at NumberFire. Got to take a quick time out here on the show. Gray Albright's going to join us. We'll mix in Gray's top 3 surprises and disappointments in the fantasy baseball season coming up next. So stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
From the 2021 NFL draft, although Gray Albright it was a huge fan of last night's draft. He wants to talk about the first pick, the second pick, the eighth pick, the 10th pick, Aaron Rodgers, everything. Mm-hmm. But we convinced him to just do some baseball with us here on the show. He joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter at Razball. Gray, a fantastic fantasy baseball player, season-long player, has great work over at Razball as well. Me and him are jockeying in the standings in the league that we're in. He's shocked with that. But, hey, every once in a while, maybe I'll have a good year. 1 out of 10, it's possible. So Gray, we are reaching the end of the month. We are here. The month of April is done. Before we get into some surprises and disappointments, what do you think? First month of the season in the books, it seemed like it went pretty smooth.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought it went great, to be totally honest. I didn't, if you would have told me 3 months ago that the first month of the baseball season would go as smooth as it went, I'd be like, nah, you're lying to me. But, yeah, it really went well.
Yeah, no, I think it did. We had that little pause there at the beginning of the season with Washington and the Mets, you know, couldn't play some games. At some point they'll figure out the weather situation. I don't know why. I mean, honestly, the Rays should be playing at home, the Marlins in the first month at home, and the Braves in the first month at home. And then let them go on the road in the summer. That's just the way. And then you won't have any of these cancellations.
I don't know if you saw this, but there was a couple years ago, there was a documentary about the MLB schedulers, this couple and I believe it was New Hampshire, and they were scheduling the MLB games for like 20 years, and then they retired like 3 years ago, and ever since then, no one can figure out how to schedule baseball. Like, how do you not have every team playing on a Friday? What's going on?
Yeah, that is insane too. No, like, you're right. What? No, yeah. I mean, for me, it's just about the month of April is cold everywhere, so play in warm weather. I mean, that's it, you know, and that's the end of the story. I mean, I'm sorry. Listen, we just went through a whole COVID season where teams couldn't even go home. You're telling me for 3 weeks they can't stay on the road? It should be fine. Anyway, all right, story for another day. Let's get right to it. Gray, you're sharp with this stuff. Uh-oh. And so when you tell me surprises and disappointments, it's going to raise some eyebrows here, I'm sure. So for you, as of now, 1 month in, give me Gray Albright's 3 biggest surprises in fantasy baseball to start the season.
Okay, well, I'd say my biggest surprise, and I think it's got to be everyone's biggest surprise, because right now he's on pace to eclipse Babe Ruth's best season in WAR. I'm talking about Byron Buxton. He's playing a little bit over his head right now. I would say probably not a 440 hitter, I would guess. And he's also, you know, he's never really been able to stay healthy. But right now, this April, Buxton has been incredible, man. I mean, it's just like everything he's hitting is like a high exit velocity home run or line drive. He looks like a 300-plus hitter with power and speed. Like, we know he's fast. Like, he could probably, honestly, if he got a 162 games, he's probably a 40-20 310 hitter with his peripherals right now, which is surprising.
No, he's, and again, healthy for the first time ever for like an entire month and playing at a high level. Like he's had the play at a high level for a couple of weeks and then get hurt, but it is a complete month of no injuries and playing at a high level. Okay, give me number two.
All right, number two, I'm going to say Vlad Guerrero Jr. Not necessarily like a huge surprise. I think the bigger surprise is all the people in fantasy who doubted that he could just adjust his launch angle just a hair and hit, instead of hitting 330, hit 45 homers and 310. Like, Vlad Jr. looks like every bit as great a hitter as everyone thought he was going to be for the last 3 years.
It took a little bit, and I understand there was some cynicism, because when you talk about best shape of your life and losing weight, look, we all have to question that a little bit. I was on the Vlad bandwagon. I do have him in labor, one of my biggest leagues, so I am thrilled with the start that he is off to. I wanted a piece. I wanted to take a shot with him on a team, and I should have done it everywhere, but at least I got him in one. Okay, so now the third biggest surprise for Gray Albright of Razzball in the month of April.
Yeah, no, the third biggest surprise, I think, is that hitters are, in general, for batting average, are just terrible across the entire league. Like, people were, it's been a while now that it's been, you know, devolving into just a power game. But, I mean, they have, like, across the league now, I think it's down like 20% or something for batting average. Like, there's no one's hitting for average anymore. Like, there is, in some of my fantasy leagues, there's people winning right now with like a 250 average. 250 average used to be last place.
Yeah, no, it did. I mean, that's changed so much. And for me, like, you know, and I talked about this on the Tout Wars board, was strikeouts to me is the biggest surprise. Because, you know, on a nightly basis, I check my team. And if my guy pitches eight innings and strikes out six, I think I'm going to move up a couple points, and I'm moving down seven. I'm like, wait a second here. My guy pitched eight innings and struck out six. Oh, he didn't strike out 14? Well, you move down in the standings. I mean, if you didn't get three or four guys who could strike out, you may as well just, it's a wrap for you in pitching. All right, so those are the surprises from Gray. Let's close out the month of April here, Gray, with the disappointments.
Oh, yeah, let's end on a high note, huh? All right.
Yeah, gotta do it this way.
Let's do a, let's leave people with real downers. My biggest downer right now, and, you know, we're talking fantasy, so, you know, apply this in a fantasy way, but, like, the Yankees are awful. They're legitimately a bad team. I know they're, you know, their pitching's bad. I won't even bother going down that route, but I'll talk about Gio Urshela is right now their best hitter. It's like, and he's not doing very well. Like, he's not hitting well. And Odor looks like a great pickup for them. And he's rooting Odor. Like, he's not very good. Like, it's not a great team, like, hitting-wise right now. And it's, like, incredibly bad for Giancarlo, Judge, DJ LeMahieu looks awful. So there's some disappointments for you.
Yeah, and what's interesting with the Yankees is, you know, Clint Frazier had the running mistake the other day. The announcers are starting to get on it. I mean, Boone seems to be pretty candid on Judge. I mean, he's used the term load management like they do in the NBA, Gray, with LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, that basically he's not going to play every day. I mean, it's insane to think that we're here only in April and they're talking about sitting him a couple times a week to make sure he's healthy. I guess it's the right way to go about it, but not what we thought going into the year, that's for sure. You're right. All right, so any other disappointments?
I had one that was probably close to your heart, and I don't want to pick on a guy whose health is probably not so great, but Christian Yelich looks like a real disappointment as of right now.
Yeah,
I'm not happy getting him in any leagues. It's unfortunate because it looks like his back's acting up now.
Yeah,
and breakout.
I would say this. I would say this. In 2020 was a massive disappointment. Okay, he looked really good the first week when he was healthy. Looked okay the second week, and you're right about the back. The only thing that I would take not exception to, but I would say that while you're right, it's a massive disappointment for April. There is hope because this happens to him a lot, and he usually comes back and comes back very strong. It's just Yelich is not a 162-game player. He's a 145 or 150. And I think you're going to be okay there with Gray. I'm not particularly worried about him, but I understand. Big disappointment in April. Who else?
I hope so. The last guy who's really just been awful, and he's been so terrible at bat and in the field, even though, you know, obviously for fantasy, most people don't play with fielding categories. But Eugenio Suarez is just awful. I mean, oh, my God. And he's actually really hurting the Reds pitching by his shortstop play. It's like on both sides of the ball, Eugenio Suarez looks bad. I don't know. Maybe it's because of the fielding that has gotten in his head, and he should just go back to third and be a hitter again, because his hitting used to be good. Right now, it's awful.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Suarez, it's really compelling because, you know, I thought he was last year going into the season a 40 or 50 home run guy, like bona fide guy. Mm-hmm. I thought this year he was a major sleeper, but then when I heard the shortstop thing, I'm like, oh, I've seen this story before. Hitter, now it's in his head and he's thinking about the fielding. I got to be honest with you, Good Gray, the Reds are perplexing. I can't figure out which direction they're going, what they want to do. I know that if they have a left-handed hitter in their lineup every year, there's still going to be someone that's hitting 30 or 40 home runs for them, but they accomplish nothing else. Every year, it is the same. Roll out a pitcher or two, a couple are good, a couple are bad, bullpen can't pitch, they win 70 games. I don't see this year being any different at all for them. So I'm totally, totally with you in agreement there. All right, so before we wrap up, the other thing that I did want to hit on here before we go is certainly this idea that, I know we talked about it before the season, but that loading up on pitching is seemingly working. But, you know, the other part of it that I look at, Gray, is that it's only April, and I think that there's still 4 months left. And while all the hitters we've seen, because we haven't seen a ton of pitching hurt in April, but it's been the hitters that have been out. It's been hamstrings and muscles and tears and things like that. I think that that will even itself out. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think so. It's a long season, and I anticipate, you know, pitching getting, you know, slowing down as the because they just came off of such a goofy 60-game season that once the pitchers have like 100 innings on their arm, they're going to be like, whoa, what's going on? We just came off of a season where we threw 60 innings. Now we're at 100, and you want us to go to 175, 200? It's not happening.
Yeah. No, the dynamic is interesting. And also, I mean, the positive of this is that it's been only hitters if you were heavy on pitching. The negative to this is that we've seen Eloy Jimenez, your guy Cody Bellinger, and we've seen some significant 2-3-4 month injuries, but no big pitchers yet out for the season. No big pitchers, Tommy John surgery yet. I hate to say it, but could be coming. Hey, Gray, thank you for coming on once again. We'll catch up next week.
All right. See you later, bro.
Gray Albright at Razball on Twitter, razball.com. Check him out. We'll be right back to wrap it all up after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mitch along with Davis Maddock. Before we get into some fantasy or reality, I think it's worth noting, Davis, we talked so much in this show about the NFL draft. We're going to be right back here on Monday. Do you think that there are some potential stars to be had in fantasy that could get drafted between now and let's say the end of the weekend? I feel like there's always one or two every year that kind of slip through, and you know, we could, you know, you know, certainly go through those. But do you think that Monday we'll be back here and you'll be saying, man, I really love the spot for this player?
Yeah, well, I think Javonte Williams could either be drafted by the New York Jets or the Miami Dolphins. Both of those landing spots, I think he would walk in and be a starting running back right away and be signed up for, you know, 200-plus touches. I think the New Orleans Saints are still desperately needing a wide receiver. You know, Michael Thomas's compliments right now. We're looking at Traquan Smith bringing it back year four. Tommy Lee Lewis, I mean, just not a ton of wide receiver depth there. So I think Elijah Moore or Rondale Moore landing there. Kansas City needs a wide receiver. The I talked about Pat Freiermuth last hour. I think a lot of teams could use his services. So I think we have some good names left to be called, Craig.
Yeah, no, I do too. And that was a great one with the Saints. I don't know what their quarterbacking will be like next year, but there's no doubt that. And even Michael Thomas is a little bit iffy, I think, going into next year, too. So good call there. Okay, so let's touch on fantasy reality. Aaron Rodgers was not the only story that percolated on the internet yesterday. The other one was that Tim Tebow attempting a comeback to the NFL and is coming back as a tight end and potentially maybe signing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, this is a pretty, I would say, slippery slope here. Now, I am the biggest Tebow apologist there ever has been. He is a Gator. He's one of my favorites of all time. Won a championship. I do not accept any Tebow slander. But let's be real. His baseball career didn't go as it should have. He probably, Davis, hung around at least a year, maybe two, too long. But the organizations loved what he brought to the table as a teammate, as a human, and as an athlete. So the door is now potentially open for him to come back. He's finally, after 5 years, decided the only way he's going to play in the NFL is going to be via the tight end position, which is something maybe he should have realized again 5 years ago, but he chose not to. Fantasy or reality, Tim Tebow will return and be a Jaguars tight end in training camp in 2021. I'm going to turn it over to you for this fantasy or reality, but before I do, I want to make it clear, Urban Meyer is the head coach of the Jaguars. Fantasy or reality?
Yeah. So this is very funny because I actually liked Tebow, but not for the reason that you would expect. I don't care about any of the off-the-field stuff or like the, you know, the Tebow's a great leader and everyone believes in him. Like that, none of that matters to me at all. Not the type of personality that I would jive with if Tim Tebow and I were to ever meet. But Tim Tebow's career for the Broncos was the first time it ever became clear to me why people are bad at fantasy sports, why the average person is bad at fantasy sports. And it's because Tebow looked awful getting his fantasy numbers. He would throw lame ducks. I don't know if to this day if Tim Tebow can throw a tight spiral 30 yards down the field, but it didn't matter. He was an incredibly effective rusher when he was the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. He was an okay enough passer, obviously, to win games at the NFL level, even if it didn't look that good. But people just didn't want to roster him in fantasy football back in his heyday for the Denver Broncos. And ever since then, I have carried a torch for Tim Tebow because he was so successful for me on all my fantasy teams back then. I agree with your assessment. He should have realized that a move to tight end, a la Logan Thomas, a la Terrell Pryor, was the obvious career move for him. I don't know why he never did it. And you are right. Urban Meyer is the head coach. This is going to happen. I'm actually going to buy that this is a reality. Tim Tebow will play for the Jaguars in 2021.
Yeah, see, I changed our wording a little bit with this. Here is what I think. Again, educated guessing here. I have been so fortunate that I covered Tim Tebow at Florida, went to the national championship game, covered Urban Meyer too, and went to school before they were there and graduated, but as media was able to cover both players, and that's the only thing I still really root for are the Gators. You know, Davis, I don't think he's going to play during the regular season. I don't think that that's going to happen. But I think he's going to be there in training camp, and I think that he's going to be there in the preseason, and I think that they may have some understanding that that's what that's for. And look, they'll give him the chance to make the team, but I don't think he's going to make it. But I do think he's going to get signed. I think he's going to be there in camp. We're going to be talking all about it. And Urban Meyer is the reason why. Urban Meyer is going to bring him back. The other thing that I would say about Tebow is that while I totally agree with you, he should have never been a starting quarterback in the NFL, he deserved another chance to fail, I think, or fail twice more, based on the amount of poor quarterbacking, Davis, there is at second and string quarter, third. I'm sorry. He deserved another chance to fail, and he was never given one, I think, and that was not cool. But people did not want, you know, the circus that goes around him. I would tell you that people that have talked to him, both on the baseball and football field, love Tim Tebow for that distraction because it takes away from everything else that's going on there. And then the players don't have to worry about it. He takes all the pressure away. Reality. Training camp for Tim Tebow is a reality for me. I'll differ on the regular season. I don't think he makes the Jaguars, but I do think he plays in the preseason. I do think he is there in July in training camp 2021. Okay, now we go from Tim Tebow to another all-time great. Dr. J, Julius Erving, recently was interviewed in a podcast form, was asked to give his all-NBA teams of all time, first team or second team, and Davis, LeBron James was not on the first team, and he wasn't on the second team either. In fact, Michael Jordan was on the second team. Dr. J's players that he used for the first team, all players that basically played either before or with him. Second team players like Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in his era. Nobody of the new school at all. Let's just focus on LeBron here from Dr. J, who's never afraid to say what he wants. Fantasy or reality, Julius Erving was right leaving LeBron off his all-time team.
No, this is so stupid. This is the thing I hate the most about the NBA, and I guess it happens in all sports where the old timers are convinced that the newer, you know, the new guys, the game is easier. It's they don't play as hard, and no one cares as much as we did, and everyone's just in it for the money, and it's just like, dude, shut up. Like Charles Barkley and Shaq, like stop. We don't need any of this. Dr. J, you're leaving LeBron off of the all-time team. He's the best player ever. And even if you won't grant that, if you are someone who just believes so much that Michael Jordan is the best ever, whatever. I mean, that's a whole different thing. But LeBron is, at worst, the second best human being in the history of the planet at playing his sport. And what it does is it invalidates everything else that someone like Dr. J would say. Like, if you are going to be so biased and so divorced from reality, then what's the point? Like, literally, what is the point of creating this list if LeBron James is not going to be on it? Because I'll tell you, I don't even care who else is on his list. If I know that LeBron's not there, I know that there's nothing for me to learn from the rest of the list, so I'm just going to completely tune it out.
Yeah, I agree. And I understand some of the reasoning why he chose to choose some of the players, and he wanted to give respect to the players that did it first, and I get all that. But and we do see it differently. Like, I'm a Jordan guy over LeBron, but I put LeBron right there too. Like, I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. I totally recognize how great LeBron is. But yes, LeBron James, the way that this should have worked for Julius Erving is you start with Michael Jordan, and then you go to LeBron James, and then you fill out the other three. And then we can have that debate as to who those others are. Wilt Chamberlain, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Oscar Robertson. Like, yeah, we can play around with those. But you start with MJ, you go to LeBron James, and then we can talk about the rest, because there's no doubt. And by the way, after last year winning the championship, what doubt did LeBron James leave ever after that? I mean, that was it. I mean, that was the stamp. Done deal. One with the Lakers, too. Don't get it. But hey, Dr. J is who he is. Okay, let's close it out here with some quarterback conversation. Boy, did this conversation change quite a bit from where we were at the beginning of the year, right? So Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. At least that's what is published, reported. Deshaun Watson, a few months ago, everyone was absolutely convinced he was not going back to Houston. Then the legal stuff happened. There was not even a mention of Deshaun Watson last night on the broadcast. I don't even know what is going on with him, honestly. And then the same for Russell Wilson. I saw a quote from Pete Carroll saying, oh, we're in a good place. Everything is fine. So all of a sudden, the dynamics have changed completely. Whereas we thought maybe Watson and Wilson would be gone, now it looks like they're back. Maybe not. Is Aaron Rodgers there? I'm not sure. So let's throw it out. Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, and Russell Wilson Davis will all start on their current teams NFL week one. Fantasy or reality?
Well, you're giving me an out here, because I think the right answer for each one, well, you know, is Rodgers on the Packers, is Watson on the Texans, is Russell Wilson on the Seahawks. On each individual one, I would probably say it's more likely than not that they are, but there's enough of a chance that each of them are not going to be on that team to start the year that I can say cumulatively at least one of them will not be on their team to start the year, whether it's Watson, whether it's Rodgers, whether it's Wilson. This is a clear new generation of athletes, whether it be in the NBA, Major League Baseball, or the NFL. The idea of being loyalty to the ownership consortium, you know, taking docking pay, being in a situation where you were unhappy for the good of the team, I think that these things are lost. And I think for good. I always want to side with the labor. So if Rodgers doesn't want Green Bay to make him, you know, throw to Allen Lazard and Marquez Valdez-Scantling and drafts a cornerback a year after drafting a quarterback in the first round, I'm on board. And if Russell Wilson wants to throw the ball 700 times a year and doesn't want to hand the ball off to Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde, I'm with him. So I think that it is a fantasy that all three of them are on their teams to start the year. At least one of them will be on a different team.
I'm going to say reality. I'm going to say none of them go anywhere. If I didn't learn my lesson from Watson and Wilson, I'm not going to learn it with Rodgers. I think they're all back. I think they get it worked out. I think Rodgers signs a new deal, and this is all ends up being about nothing. But it definitely felt like something for a long period of time. Now, with Watson, maybe the caveat is some sort of suspension or crazy release. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think so. But, you know, I mean, with the legal stuff that's going on, I really, it's very complex and I don't have a full understanding of it other than all of these allegations and now him having to go against those and fight those. So I will say reality. They all stay on their current teams. How about that? Rodgers, Watson, and Wilson all back with their respective clubs, Green Bay, Houston, and Seattle in 2021. Okay, so we'll take a quick timeout here on the show. And coming up next, Davis is going to close us out with the Sports Grid 60. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And by the way, Davis and I will be right back here Monday at noon Eastern as we recap the entire draft and go through the best case scenario for fantasy, worst case scenario for fantasy, all of that and more. Don't go away. More Sports Grid, more fantasy sports today. Next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our final segment here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Maddock, and I felt so passionate about today's Sports Grid 60 that I actually said, Craig, you know what? Peace out. Go get your lunch early. Go begin your afternoon. You can have 5 minutes back of your Friday because I need the full time for this rant, which is going to be about Rashad Bateman, who is the new wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens. There is this assumption now in fantasy football that Baltimore is not a good offense for fantasy football. They run the ball too much. They don't throw the ball enough. Baltimore has been one of the least pass-happy teams, not only in the NFL right now, but in NFL history, while Lamar Jackson has been their quarterback and while Harbaugh has been their coach. And so there is this instant response to assume that because that is the way it's been for the last several years, that that's the way it's going to continue to be. And I think the drafting of Rashad Bateman tells us, look, it's the exact opposite. The Ravens, and by extension, Harbaugh, believe that Lamar Jackson can be a better passer. And they're not stupid. They can watch the Buffalo Bills. They can watch the Kansas City Chiefs. They can watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and see what are the best teams in the NFL do. The best teams in the NFL pass the ball. They score quickly. They throw the ball deep and they run fast on offense. Now, will Lamar ever throw 700 times in a season? No, he'll probably never throw 700 times in a season, but 550? Why can't that happen? Replacing Willie Snead, Dez Bryant, Devin Duvernay with Rashad Bateman, a first-round wide receiver. I feel incredibly positive about the selection of Rashad Bateman for the Baltimore Ravens, and I think that we should feel positive about him in fantasy football as well. My guess is that he ends up going well into the double-digit rounds of fantasy football drafts in 2021, and he should be treated much more like his counterparts, like Devonta Smith, like Jalen Waddle. And I don't think that will happen. I think that Waddle, because he went so high, and Devonta Smith, because he went so high, will be viewed as better prospects, and that's wrong. Everyone, for James, for Chris Kofsky, for our producer Brett Levy, for Craig Mish, this has been Davis Maddock here at Fantasy Sports Today. Make sure to stay tuned to SportsGrid TV for the rest of the weekend.